Just pray in the name of Jesus. We know right now you're here in the room. Holy Spirit. Spirit, we just ask that you bring life today, that you bring resurrection, that you bring dry bones back to life today. Lord, that where there's been death spoken over a family member, over a son, over a daughter, over a wife, or a husband, I pray somebody would get a shot of faith today in the name of Jesus. That they would realize we're not dead. If we're not dead, we're not done. Lord, we know you got something for us today. And so I just pray that we would receive, even if it's just one word, even if it's just one word from you, that word will bring life and it will never return void. So Lord, I just pray for growth today. I pray for protection, that where the enemy's trying to get in, where the enemy's trying to get access, that there would be a boundary, there would be a wall, there would be separation, that we would not let him in. In the name of Jesus, we are covered. That we would shut all the doors and the windows to our temple, that this would be a holy dwelling place, for our bodies are temples of your Holy Spirit who live inside of us. The only access that the enemy gets is what we give him. We're not giving him access anymore. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said amen. All right, let's sit down. Let's get to work. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You got to stay your mind. You control your mind. The devil, he'll try to throw some thoughts in there, but what do? We take them captive and we make them obedient to Christ. You make them, you have authority. You have spiritual authority. When those thoughts come in, thoughts of suicide, you ever been driving before and you have that weird thought come into your mind like, oh, what if I just jerk the wheel off the road? That's a demonic thought. That's not from you. You might tell that to a therapist and be like, oh, I think I'm suicidal. You're not suicidal. The demons want you to believe you're suicidal. They want to cut your life off. That's not from the Lord. That's from a demon. That's not who he made you. He did not create you. He's the creator. He creates life. He did not create you to kill yourself. Don't let the devil convince you to cut off what God has called up. All right? Come on now. There's somebody that came in here today. You've been having thoughts of suicide. Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, our ministry team will be up here. Come find us. Come find a pastor, somebody. We'll pray for you, and we'll command that thought to leave in the name of Jesus. And from here on out, you take those thoughts captive, and you make them obedient to Christ. And so you just begin to remind the devil who you are, whose you are. And you just begin to speak truth. And so every day as I was walking my kids to school and I'm wondering, Lord, I've never started a church before. I don't know how to do this. Lord, I've been working for 13, 14 years at the same job and have had the paycheck and the insurance. Lord, I don't know what to do in this new season where I don't have those things that I relied on. And I just kept reading and learning and repeating Isaiah 26:3, you. Speaking to God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so I just kept, I wanted peace in that season because I didn't feel a lot of peace. And so when you don't feel something, what do? You begin to declare the word of the Lord. That is faith. When you begin to take it and declare it out loud with your mouth, I didn't feel like it. But what did I do? I commanded your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, all those things that you think that's who I am. I feel this way. This is kind of who I am. I feel this way. You can control it. You can command it in the name of Jesus. You might not feel like worshiping. We talk about this all the time. We keep harping on it. Some of you are like, you're here like 4 weeks in a row, and you're like, this guy never stops talking about worship. The Bible never stops talking about worship. I'm going to talk about what the Bible talks about. Like, I love it. I love it because I've learned it. I've learned the beauty of it. Just like what Jake was saying today. You just gotta do it. Stop being a baby. Like, just do it. Okay? And some of you are like, don't call me a baby. Hey, I call you a baby in the name of Jesus. I love you. But it's time to grow up. You're still drinking milk. Get the meat. We gotta worship. Man, I love you guys. I love this church. Like, you don't understand. Like, other pastors come into this church and visit this church, and they're like, what is going on? Can you tell me, like, what's going on here? Like, if I had this church, if I had your people, like, things would be going better in my church. And I said, no. You just got to begin to speak it, even when you don't see it. You think this church has always been this way? You think this church has always been raising their hands and jumping up and down and like and going after it in worship? No, you should have seen us back in the JCC, the Jewish Community Center. We were in this 300-seat auditorium, and we're all spread out. Everybody's kind of got their own little area, and you can just kind of sit like this the whole time, and you can cross your legs during worship, and you can just have your own little area, and it was so nice. And now what are we? We're packed in here in the middle of July, and it's 100 degrees in this room, and we're praising the Lord. Why? 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 Because of the word of the Lord. We just kept reading the word of the Lord and declaring it over our people. That's what we do. We just declare it. Even when we didn't see it, we declared it, and things changed. Things shifted. You might not see it in your life this past week. You might see just a, man, just a mess. Just a disaster. You don't see it, but I'm telling you, start to declare life. Start to speak the word of the Lord over your life, over your family, over your relationships. It brings life. That's what the word does. It's a seed, and it's going to burst forth, but man, you got to tend to it. You got to water it. You got to show up every day. You got to, even when you don't feel like it, you show up and you meet him. There's a verse I read this week. Let me find it really quick. There's this verse I read. Where was that? Sorry, I gotta get this really quick. Maybe he doesn't want me to find it for you. I thought it was really good. I thought for sure he wanted this for today. Of course, I can't find it now. You just have to declare his word. Okay? You just speak it and you just start declaring it. And all of a sudden, life starts to form. Okay? Proverbs 30, verse 12 says this: there's a generation pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its own filthiness. When I think back to the days of revival and where God told us to start, he told us to start with repentance. Revival starts with repentance. Revival starts with repentance. If you're taking notes today, you just got to write that down. You got to get that deep inside of you. Like, I keep thinking, like, what, when people ask, you know, I had Pastor JJ in here from Fremont this summer, and he had all these questions. He's like, man, and he just was kind of feeling like, he's like, man, if I had your people, like, things would be so different. Things would be changed. And I said, you don't understand where we started. We had to speak the word of God. We had to teach the word of God. And you know what? And I love where we're at today, but where we're at today is not where we're going to be a year from now or 2 years from now or 5 years from now. We're going to keep being transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. And so we're not done. We're going further and farther than we've ever gone before, but it's learning to keep our mind stayed on him because he keeps you in perfect peace. When you have peace, you can walk through anything. You can walk through any valley, any challenge. Anything the devil wants to throw at you, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You just keep declaring it in faith, even when you don't see it. But for the generation that thinks, like Proverbs 30 says here, that it's pure in its own eyes, it's not actually washed from its filthiness. There's a lot of pride in religion. And so there was a season where we had to break off pride, and it was a long season. And let me tell you something, it's a lifelong battle. But my goodness, it was thick in the beginning. Scales like Leviathan. I don't know if you know about Leviathan in the Bible, but it's like a dragon, and it says it's got scales. And air can't even like travel through the scale. I mean, it's thick and the scales are tight together. And it's like you can't breathe. That's what religion is. It's like you can't breathe. You go into a church atmosphere sometimes, and you're like, I feel like I can't even breathe in here. You feel restricted. You feel like there's no movement. It's just everything is from man. Everything's from religion. There's no Holy Spirit. He doesn't still move. He's not powerful. He doesn't still speak. He doesn't do miracles. It's a cessationist attitude. It's a cessationist mindset. They believe everything ceased after that first generation of the apostles was done. When they all passed away, they believe, all right, miracles, signs, wonders, the Holy Spirit speaking, that's just done. Prophesying, that's just done. And so we had to break off this cessationist, this religious mindset over ourselves. And so we just went after it and we attacked and we attacked and we attacked. And what did we do? We taught repentance. We taught repentance because then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you hear it enough times and all of a sudden you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I thought I was perfect. I thought I was pure in my own eyes. And one day you just wake up and you realize because you hear it and the word of God gets planted in you. And all of a sudden that word comes bursting forth through the soil of your life. And you get that revelation when it first cracks through the soil. And you realize, oh my goodness, I've been prideful. I've been unrepentant. I've been living in my own ways. I thought I was pure, but really, I had just become religious. I had just put on a mask. I was like a whitewashed tomb. It's whitewashed. It looks nice on the outside, but it's death on the inside. It's death. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high. He'll bring down the religious. The lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. The way of the just is uprightness. Oh, most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. When you wake up, do you go to your phone or do you go to him? When you get woken up at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, some of you got new babies. You get woken up in the middle of the night. I'm telling you, begin to force yourself to not go to your phone, but to go to prayer and just listen for him. He wants to share things with you. In the middle of the night, when there's no distractions, he wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to reveal things to you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. What do we keep saying? Wake up at 5. Your kids wake up at 6 and you're like, I can't have a morning time with the Lord. Wake up at 5. Your kids wake up at 7. You're blessed. You can wake up at 6. My kids wake up at 6. I got to wake up at 5. My wife and I, we got to be up at 5 a.m. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Yes, by my spirit, I will seek you early. Get after him in the morning. Seek him early in the morning. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. We want, that's our desire, for the inhabitants of the world to learn righteousness, to learn who is righteous. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. Lord, you will establish peace for us. Let him establish peace. Some of you are trying to establish peace out of your own power, your own strength. And you're grinding and you're working and you think, if I make enough, if I do enough, if I earn enough, then I'll have peace. No, let him establish peace. Keep your mind stayed on him. Keep your mind stayed on him in this season. How do I keep my mind stayed on him? Just pick one scripture. That was all. It was just really simple in that season when we were building the church, what that God had called us to. We just kept, like, I kept going to the scriptures, and he would just highlight little scriptures to me. And it was Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I just kept saying it and saying it. I mean, I'd walk. I know exactly, like when I leave my house and I walk my kids, you know, it's there and back. It's 2,700 steps on my Apple Watch. 2,700 steps. I'm talking to my kids, but also when they're kind of running on ahead and I'm just kind of alone pushing my daughter or whatever, you know, just walking at my own pace. I'm just, Isaiah 26:3. Even if you just, for the rest of your life, if there's only one scripture you get deep down inside of you and memorize, praise the Lord. That's one more than what you had today when you came in. Find a scripture that the Lord is speaking to you in this season and begin, even if it's just small, even just one line, just begin to learn it and repeat it. Write it down so it gets deep in you. And then all of a sudden on those days that are difficult and hard, when you feel all stirred up and you feel, you don't feel peace, you feel anger, you feel rage, you feel bitterness, you feel everything kind of coming in and attacking you all at once, you can go back to peace. You can go back to His Word. That's all I did yesterday. When I felt everything I was feeling yesterday, I went back to Isaiah 26:3. And His Word brings peace. His Word brings life. It recenters you. When we talk about meditation, I'm not talking about how the world defines it. The world counterfeits, the devil counterfeits everything that the Lord has created. The Lord created meditation. Meditation in the world says lose yourself, lose your mind, just become one. No. To meditate means you meditate on Scripture, you chew on it. What am I doing as I walk those 2,700 steps there and back? I'm chewing on the Word of God. It's like how a cow would chew. And like that's what that word literally means, like a cow chewing on the grass. Like you just chew on it and chew on it. And you're just like, this is good. It's good. And you just keep chewing and chewing over and over because every time it just hits you a little different and it brings life to you. Begin to chew on His Word in this season. Just one verse. Just find one verse today. Before you leave, open up the Word and say, Lord, is there one place? If you open up randomly, He'll probably show you a place. Just say, God, show me. He might bring a book and a chapter and a verse to your mind right now in this moment. John 8:20. John 8:16. John 1:9. And He'll start to bring it to you. Start to learn it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to Him in this season. Lord, You will establish peace for us, for You have also done all our works in us. O Lord our God, masters besides You have had dominion over us. Some of you, you've had masters of this world that have had dominion over you. But by You only we make mention of Your name. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore, You have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. Lord, in trouble, they have visited You. They poured out a prayer when Your chastening was upon them. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in Your sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise, awake, and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. One thing I keep seeing here, and all throughout Scripture, I keep seeing boundaries and borders and walls. What did he say there? What did he say in Isaiah? He said, you've expanded all the borders of the land. Borders, boundaries, and walls. Song of Solomon 2. Song of Solomon 2. I'm going to start in verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Verse 15, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You're in a harvest season. This is a harvest season. The fig tree is putting forth green figs. The vines are full of tender grapes. But what is going on? There are little foxes that spoil the vines. Foxes, they come into vineyards and they cause damage by eating the grapes, digging holes that damage vines, and chewing on the stems or roots of the vines, which will lead to the vine's death and prevent it from producing fruit. You are coming into a season that's about to be one of your most fruitful seasons ever. But right now, there are little foxes, what's the devil come to do? To steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is trying to get in to the vineyard to cause damage. And you kind of look at them, and if you've ever seen a fox before, I mean, I remember seeing a couple in Colorado a few years back, and they're pretty cute. Like, they are. They're really cute. I'm a grown man. I'm not embarrassed to say a little fox is cute. It's all right. They're cute little guys. But what do? They come into the vineyard, and they dig holes, and they chew at the vine, and they steal the grapes. What are they doing? They're stealing your harvest. That's for you. So how do you stop the foxes from coming in? You either got to catch them, you got to put a trap out for them. And so some of you, your peace is being stolen in this season, and I'm telling you, you got to start putting some traps out for the devil. So you start to know him, so it triggers in your mind, oh my goodness, that's what I'm trying to do for you today. When I told you, you got to start learning how to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ, what are you doing? You're catching those little foxes. You're catching those little foxes. And you throw them out of the garden. You catch them and you throw them. You toss them. You exterminate them. You get rid of them in the name of Jesus. You send them back to the abyss because they do not belong. How do you catch the foxes? You have to be able to tell the truth from a lie. You have to get into the Word. You have to get into the Word so the Word will get into you. If you don't know the Word, if you don't understand the Word, then it's going to be really easy for the devil to get in and steal the harvest from you. What did the devil do all the way back in the garden? Adam and Eve, they knew the Word of the Lord, but what did he do? He got them to question the Word of the Lord. He said, did he really say that? Did God really say that? And some of you, the devil is doing that to you in this season. You're kind of wondering, did he really say that? Does he really say that? Even today, like there's some of you, you come from this different background. I don't know what it is, probably Baptist or Christian church or whatever. And you hear me keep talking about worship and you're like, there's a little fox telling you, did God really say that? Is that really in his Word? I'll do a whole sermon on it. I'll go through every psalm. I'll go through every scripture that talks about worship and giving a sacrifice of your lips and giving him your hands and clapping and shouting and jumping. I'll go through every one. It'll take me a year to preach through it. I'm slow. I am. It'll take me a year to preach through it. Did he really say that? Yes. Yes, he says that. Does it really matter? Is it really a big deal? It's the Word of God. You tell me. It's the Word of God. Don't you want to take that serious today? Don't you want your life to be different? If you start to take his Word seriously, your life will be different. You will be set apart. And it will protect you from the little foxes. His Word is a barrier. It's a boundary. It's protection. When you start to live inside of his Word and walk in obedience to him, to his Word, guess what that does? It puts up a spiritual wall, a spiritual barrier where the devil can't reach you. He's trying to reach you. He can't have you. But if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know the Word of God, He can have you all day. He can deceive you all day. You're easy prey. Let's put up a barrier. Let's put up a border. Let's start to build a wall. That's not political. Don't be. No. Take the Bible. Take the Bible serious. Begin to read His Word, and it's going to build up a wall. Because I'll tell you, walls, boundaries, borders, they are biblical. It's not political, it's spiritual. Do you understand that? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about the world. We're not talking about, we're talking about the Spirit. In the Spirit, you need to stay right here inside of His walls. It's when you venture out. It's when you kind of open the door just to peek out and see what's going on out there. You just kind of, that's what the devil is good at too. He's good at just getting you to kind of open the door and just peek your head out. That's all he needs. All he needs is a crack. All he needs is a foothold. If he can just get a foothold in your life, man, he gets access. Don't let him have access in this season. Get into the Word, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be really easy for you to catch those foxes when they come around. Because you're going to see them, and you're going to know them. You're going to know, that's not what God said. The devil won't be able to get you. He won't be able to trip you up and say, did he really say? Because you'll know, yeah, that is actually what he really says. You'll be able to answer him, and you'll take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. First Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you are a new creation, if you have given your life to Jesus and said, you are Lord and Savior, what's it say? You have the mind of Christ. That's what we were so, in the beginning, we were so naturally minded. Many of us in here would say, like they would say, oh, I know the Word. I know what it says. I know I got the mind of Christ. They said it, but it wasn't actually true. We were not spiritually discerning. We were not Spirit-filled. And so we had to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit, how to listen to the Holy Spirit, how to submit to the Holy Spirit, how to submit our lives. Where does it start with? Repentance. Acknowledging and repenting of our sins. Do you understand that you are a sinner? Like so many people come into the church and they're like, I'm not a sinner. I'm pure. No. You have to constantly live in a state of repentance. Don't become prideful. Don't let yourself be deceived and become prideful in this season. Be willing to repent when the Lord reveals something to you. Otherwise, what happens? We begin to grieve the Holy Spirit in us. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You're wondering why you don't have peace. You cannot have peace without repentance. Psalm 119 says this, verse 161, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Even in persecution, his heart stands in awe of God's word. No matter what you face, stand in awe of his word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Start to open up the word. Ask him to speak to you in this season. Let it become treasure to you. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Do you hate and abhor lying? Lord, teach us to love what you love and hate what you hate. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law. You cannot have peace without learning to love his law. But some of you have been told and taught you can have peace on your own terms. You can have salvation on your own terms. You're saved by grace. And so what do? You go on sinning and you keep on sinning. And you're saying, nobody can judge me. Only God can judge me. He will. Repent and turn back to him. Learn to love his word. Because his word, you're not saved by obedience to his word, but you're blessed and protected by obedience to his word. Don't give the devil access. Don't give the little foxes access anymore in this season to your life. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So even when the enemy comes and tries to trip you up in this season, tries to steal your harvest, tries to steal, kill, and destroy what the Lord wants to bring forth in this season, if you stay in this place of peace, learning to love his law, this is the place of peace right here. Learn to love it. You will not stumble. So he can throw everything he wants at you. But if you love his law, you will not stumble. You will not trip. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. If you love me, obey my commands. That's what Jesus said. So many people, we get caught up in this idea of grace, and we can just go on sinning, and we forget, oh, no. There's a blessing in obedience and the doing. It's like in marriage. If you get married and you say you love somebody, well, I said it, but then you go on and you go and see a different person that you're not married to, and you spend time with them, you hang out with them, and you're spending all your time Monday through Saturday with them, but you come home to your wife on Sunday and you're like, yeah, we're married. Are you really married? No. That's not marriage. You say it, you said it, but you're not living it. Begin to read his word and begin to live it. Then you'll find a blessing in that place. Some of you in your marriage right now, you're struggling, and it's because you're actually doing this. And you're like, well, I'm not having an affair. But you're spending more time with your job or with your coworkers or with your friends than you are at home. And you're not investing and stewarding the place God has called you to steward and invest in. Some of you, you are better to your friends than you are to your wife. Some of you are better to your friends or your coworkers than you are to your husband. You listen to them. You have great conversations. You're encouraging and building up. And then you come home and you tear down and you tear apart and you criticize. Why would you give your best to the people you work with and not the people you live with? Some of you, you're giving your best. Some of you, you do this in the church. You come and you give your best to the small group, or you give your best on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Now, I'm believing the best about our people that we don't do this, but there might be some of you that this could be you right now in this season, and you're giving your best to the church, and you are sacrificing your family at home. Your first responsibility is to be a son or daughter to the Father. And then if you are in a family, it's to be a husband or a wife of noble character and to steward well your home. If you're coming and you're giving the best of yourself here at church on a Sunday or at your small group, and you're not doing it, you're not giving your best to your husband or your spouse the rest of the week, I got to tell you something. You have permission to back off of wherever you're serving. I don't care if it's in kids or in small groups or on worship. Like, back off. If you're giving your best here and not giving your best at home, then you need to stop. And you need to learn how to steward what God has given you. Take care of your family. Love your family. Love your spouse. Love your kids. Steward them well. And then guess what? You're actually going to be better in whatever area God has called you to do ministry in. You're going to be a better version than what you've been trying to do and produce out of your own power and out of your own strength. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. There's great peace for those who love his law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isaiah 48, 22 says this, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Who are the wicked? Those who are disobedient, those who are rebellious, those who dishonor their mother and father, those who keep going back to their sin over, what you can fill it in, whatever it is. Those who are prideful. There's no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Those who are disobedient to his word. Just step back into obedience today. Just by faith, declare that you're going to step back into obedience. And all those places where the enemy's been coming to try to steal the harvest that God wants to bring, to steal the fruitfulness that he wants to bring forth in your life, the enemy will be denied access because you're in a place where he no longer has access in the heart of God's will. You're protected. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Where can you find those things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely? Right here. Just begin to meditate on God's word in this season. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Some of you, that's all you want. That's all you desire. You just desire peace. You just want to feel peace. Get into his word. His word will bring peace. His word will guard your mind. Begin to chew on it. Begin to meditate on it. Begin to think about it day and night. Learn it, recite it, memorize it, write it down. Put it everywhere that you can see it, that you can say it and speak it and declare it over your life. He's going to change things. He's going to shift things in this season as you begin to chew and meditate on his word. I told you a couple weeks ago, and when the Israelites were getting ready to enter into the promised land, the first time they sent spies in, they sent 12. Two came back with a good report, a report of faith. 10 came back with a report of fear. The next time, when Joshua was leading and he sent spies in to spy out the land, woo, hello. Instead of sending 12, he just sent two. He just sent two. And for some of you right now, you just have to cut down the voices in your life. If it's a voice of fear, if it's a voice of skepticism, if it's a voice of rebellion, if it's a voice of manipulation, domination, control, it's a voice of witchcraft. Don't listen to those voices anymore. Rebellion is as witchcraft. It says in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, sometimes we just get so used and accustomed to rebellion, we don't understand. It's a big deal. Think about those things which are true, noble, pure. Meditate on his word in this season. If you cut every voice out of your life except for the word of God, you'll be blessed. You might find that the Holy Spirit leads you to a noble man or a noble woman, somebody walking with wisdom and courage and walking in faithfulness and walking in God's word. Great. Let them be one of the two in this season. But let the 10, let there be a boundary between you and the 10, between you and the foxes. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be somebody who's been speaking and declaring death over your life. They've been speaking and declaring skepticism and fear over your life. You might need a boundary in this season. You might need separation. You might need to distance yourself from that relationship for this season. As he builds you up, as he fortifies you, as he strengthens you, let him build you up in this season in his word. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray for wisdom and discernment in this season for this house. Father God, I pray for a hunger for your word. Lord, I pray for fresh revelation for our entire house in this season, that people would get into your word, that they would find you, that they would hear you, that this would be a house of revival because we're a house of repentance, that we're quick to repent when confronted with our sin, when we feel the little foxes getting in again and we give in to them, that we'd be quick to repent and to cast them out and to become obedient to you again. Lord, I pray that we would listen and be led by your voice in this season and no other voice. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we're going to stand, we're going to worship. Our ministry team's going to be up here. If you need prayer today, if you need to confess something, there's power in confession. Don't miss this moment today. There's a purity and cleansing and a washing that takes place when we confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's praise and worship him.